The Lord says this, from the top of the cedar, from the highest branch, I will take a shoot. The cedar is the cedar of Lebanon. If you look up the Lebanese flag, you'll find the cedar tree features in the center of that flag. And it's like our cypress tree at the front here, a very large tree, a very attractive tree, and they are obviously very proud of their cedar trees. Why? Because it's a symbol of peace. And in Lebanon, which is a country made up of Muslims and Christians, there has not been that much peace. Note too that the Lebanese all believe in God. Very few atheists in that country, because they need God. And through their prayers, God has blessed them. So the cedar tree, or the ceiba from Lebanon, and all trees are made up of three basic powers or elements. There's plant life, animal life, and human life, and each has their own appropriate faculties. Plant life, all plant life, has these three faculties: nutrition, growth, and reproduction. And in each process, different parts of the plant are used. In the process of nutrition, the roots assimilate the minerals and waters. They're absorbed and they go up through the phloem and the xylem into the plant. And then, of course, the trunk is formed and the branches. The nutrition only has one purpose, and that's growth. The growth of the bark of the tree, the branches, and over time it becomes bigger and hopefully better. Growth, which is what we see, is the fruit of something we don't see. We can't see the roots absorbing the water and the minerals. Of course, with technology and microscopes, we can, but the naked eye can't see that part of the process. We can see the growth, however, and then the growth only has one purpose, and that's for reproduction, generation, the continuation of life. The fruit of that plant, or the seeds, or the graft, whatever comes from that will continue that process at death. Sometimes the fruits of the tree you can have while the plant's still living, but with cereals, for example, as they are dying, you harvest the fruit, the seed, for the next crop. And we take all this for granted, but this is what our spiritual life consists of. Those three processes: nutrition, growth, and reproduction. Basically, it's this. God sows his spiritual seed into our souls at baptism. We don't see the grace. We don't feel the grace. It's imperceptible to the human eye. A baby's baptized, the water's poured, the words are said. We don't see the downloading of sanctified grace into the soul. The soul becomes spiritualized, endowed with seven virtues, seven gifts. The seeds are sown. We don't see that. Just like we don't see the water and minerals going into the plant roots. In time, we do see that growth in that child through virtues. Three virtues for God: faith, hope, and charity. Four for self and neighbour: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And that's what makes someone a good person. Of course, as I said, growth is for reproduction, the outcome, and they're the fruits of Christian living. St. Paul talks about the 12 fruits, and that's what makes the faith attractive: kindness, patience, generosity, loving, attitude towards others. Those fruits are essential for our happiness in this life, but also some of those fruits won't come till the next life. Just like with the plants, sometimes it's after the death of the plant that the fruits have value and meaning. So the fruits are the outcome of virtue, and virtue comes from God's sowing of grace into our soul. That's how we live. That's what we don't take for, we take for granted, but we don't realize how important it is. The growth in virtue, as with a plant growing in its stature and vigor, is what makes our life meaningful. If we're not growing in virtue, we're decreasing spiritually in vice. It's either or. You can't have both. And it's the virtues that are personal. We don't live for things or something. We live for someone. Our whole life centers not on our objects we own, the house, the car, but the persons which we live with. Personal relationships, be it with God, faith, what we believe about him, hope, our desire for him, charity, how we manifest our love for him by keeping the commandments. Then, of course, the four virtues are all person-based, making the right decisions concerning others, justice, respecting, giving others their rights and dues, fortitude, not letting fear conquer us in how we relate to others, and, of course, self-control, the use of things with regards to moderation and our living with others. They're all person-based, all other-focused. And when we live out the virtues within the context of other people imbued by God's grace, we not only grow, but we do produce spiritual fruits. And you can see that in the life of the saints. It was Saint Francis rubbing up against his father, Bernardine, who was a bit too avaricious, a bit too greedy and concerned with his good name, that caused Francis to excel in his love of poverty and humility. It was the irate behaviour of once a friend called Henry to Thomas More, whose feast is this week. They were good companions, and Thomas, as you know, became the Prime Minister, the Chancellor of all of Holy Catholic England, until Henry wanted more than one wife. And of course, the whole thing fell apart there. What was the issue with Henry? Anger. He was a man filled with so much anger and bitterness, which he then poured upon his friend, which made Thomas heroic in courage, fortitude, even to the giving of his livelihood, family, and then life for the sake of Holy Catholic England that became Anglican. Each and every saint just didn't become a saint. They weren't born holy. It was in living out their faith, growing in virtue with other people, and sometimes in adversity, that they became holy and bore great fruit in this life or in the life to come. One example of in the life to come is Maria Goretti, a young girl in Italy. As we recall, it was the violent, lustful attacks of Alexander, who wanted her for his own selfishness, that caused her to flourish in what? Chastity and also courage not to give in. She died for those virtues, and the fruits came later on in his life when he was forgiven by her and God and became quite a holy monk at the end of his life. So never doubt that in adversity, God's grace, which you don't see, can cause you to grow in virtue. And those virtues will bear fruit either in this life and the life to come. That's the call to holiness. That's how we live. Plants do likewise. May we excel, as do they, the saints in heaven.